It has been almost 2 weeks since we last heard from you, Mr. Wills. It was the Thursday afternoon when everything halted the last time that we chatted. Since that point, we have seen no NHL games, and all we've seen is worldwide cancellation or postponements of sporting events and pro sport league seasons. What is happening, my friend? Welcome back to Pinder and Steinberg.
Well, thank you. Not much is happening. Yesterday, I spent 4 hours cleaning my fridge. Today, I spent a couple hours cleaning out one of the cupboards in my kitchen. I'm just trying to keep myself from going completely insane right now. I mean, this is the first time in, I don't know, 25 years I haven't been calling hockey games in the month of March, and nobody saw this coming. So it's been a little tough to wrap my head around, Pat, but I feel bad for you guys because you have to do a show every day and you have no sports to talk about.
We're getting by. We've talked about our lives a whole lot more. We did an entire segment at 2 o'clock almost talking about pigeons. Good man Craig Conroy has joined us a couple of times so far. He was on for about 40 minutes with us today. That helps kill some time. We've been able to get some. Yeah, it is like ridiculously nice of him. I think it helps kill his day as well because everybody is bored out of their skulls right now with what's going on. It's funny, like on the one hand, we got news today about the NHL postponing three off-season events, the Combine, the Awards, and the Draft. I don't think that comes as any surprise. So you have that news, but there's also kind of this overhanging sense of, I don't even know what the word would be, if it's optimism or uncertainty, but whether or not the NHL could play again. I'm just curious as to your observations as to how the NHL has conducted business and the conversation surrounding hockey, knowing that it's not being played right now.
Well, to be honest, prior to reading that article that Chris Johnston wrote on Sportsnet.ca a couple of days ago, talking about how the league is now asking teams to give them dates into the month of August, I'm way more optimistic now than I was before reading that piece because, you know, I don't think this is going to come to an end anytime soon. Hopefully we can flatten the curve as everybody's talking about, but that doesn't mean you're going to be able to snap your fingers and get back to the way things were. So I still think we're best case scenario ways away from resuming this 2019-2020 NHL season, but more optimistic today than I was earlier in the week that they are going to find a way to play some more games this year. What that looks like, who knows, Pat? You and I were texting back and forth about it. While I don't love them going down to 8 teams or going up to 24 teams, let's be honest. Any hockey at this point would be good for everybody involved. And boy, would I love to have a chance to call some more games this season. My fingers are crossed and I remain hopeful.
Well, and it's funny because I think that initially, if a plan were to come out and we were fortunate enough to be able to resume the season at some point in the summer, June, July, or August, or something like that, if that were to happen and the playoff format is different and modified from what we're used to and teams are left out or, you know, something like that happens where it's different, I do feel like there will be some initial griping from certain people, but I think everybody, players, general managers, owners, everybody has to realize that this is such an unprecedented situation that, like, it has to be different. We have to accept that things are not going to be in the immediacy exactly what we're used to. And if that means there has to be sacrifices made to allow things to continue in some form or some semblance, I think that everybody just has to be okay with it. As much as it might not be quote-unquote fair, you kind of have to accept things as they are and kind of take an is what it is mentality. And I feel like players and GMs and owners will be able to do that. But I do think that there might be some who feel like maybe they got the short end of the stick if they do find a way to come back.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is certainly a sense that the league and its teams and its players want to play again this season. I think that has to be the most exciting thing if you're a hockey fan. Everybody seems to be really committed to trying to find a way to make it happen. I would be surprised if there were any more regular season games played, and I'd also be surprised if the Stanley Cup playoffs looked the same as they usually look. I would be really disappointed if there were only 8 teams involved. I mean, I don't think that's fair to the other eight or maybe even 10 or 12 that were either in a playoff spot or really close to being in a playoff spot. Because we always talk every season about all you have to do is get in. If you get in, you've got a chance to win it all. So I don't think it would be fair to certainly the eight teams who are in, whether it be by points or point percentage today, or even to the two or three or four teams that are out but not out by much, the Jets, for example. So I would hate to see the league go down to eight teams. If it came down to doing that or to doing nothing, I guess it would be better than nothing. I would rather, I guess, go to 24 teams or to 22 teams or to 20 teams and include everybody who would have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs if the final between, 10 and 14 regular season games. I think that's what just about everybody has remaining on their schedules. If teams could viably get into a playoff spot if they went on a run in those 10 to 14 games, giving those teams a chance to compete, whether it be in a play-in game or a best-of-three series or whatever, to get in, I think that would be certainly something that would pique my interest and pique the interest of most hockey fans. But I don't think that at this point in time it's going to be okay. Point-wise, you were in, or point percentage-wise, you were in. We're going to do the usual 16 teams. I just get the sense that it's going to be something different. I just hope if it's something different, it's not eight teams, that it's more, not less.
It's funny. It's crazy, isn't it? Because I think that, you know, before it's crazy how this thing evolved. The last game that we did, I remember sitting around the hot stove lounge table. This was the Sunday night game between the Flames and the Vegas Golden Knights. It was more than 2 weeks ago now. And you, Labardius, and myself on our NHL roundup segment of our post-game show, I just talked about, hey, they just canceled Indian Wells and a couple of other things have been postponed. Like, we might get ready. We might have to have some games with empty arenas or something like that. And we were all like, geez, how crazy would it be for games to be in empty arenas? I hope it doesn't go that route. And now you're like, I would give up my left toes if we could have games in empty arenas. Like, give me that all day. It's amazing how rapidly this thing evolved.
Well, people are so hungry for hockey, so hungry for sport, because generally when you're going through a tough time, many people fall back on sports as the distraction to real life problems, to real world problems. But we can't even do that right now outside of, you know, replaying some games from earlier this season, which I hear we're going to do tonight, the old stick flip game between the Flames and the Oilers, and God, what I would do to call another Battle of Alberta this season. And it's been fun to watch some of the games from years past as well, but man, live sports would just be an absolute godsend for a lot of people right now. And I know I'd jump at the chance to call a game, and obviously you'd rather do it with people in the building. But you know, if Kelly Kirsch called today and said, hey, how do you feel about calling a game with nobody in the building? As strange as that would have sounded 2 weeks ago, I think you and I and certainly Lou would jump at the opportunity to do that now, just to get back to work and start watching some hockey again. But you talk about the timeline, Pat, and how quickly everything happened. And I must admit that when we had that discussion on the post-game show after that game between the Flames and the Golden Knights, and geez, it seems like about 6 months ago now, you, I think, were a little bit more understanding of just how serious things were. I'm not sure that at that point in time I really thought it was even realistic that teams would be playing in front of empty arenas. I certainly never thought that that could potentially be the Flames' last game of the 2019-2020 season. But I think you were doing some digging and had a bit more information than we did and got a certain sense that, you know what, this thing's getting bad and it seems to be getting worse. So credit to you for doing that. But it is crazy how quickly everything kind of unfolded. So we went from having that discussion on a Sunday night. Monday was an off day. Tuesday and Wednesday were practice days. And I don't know about you, but those 2 days felt fairly normal to me. You know, we were talking about Noah Hanifin's injury and when Travis Hamonic would be ready to come back. You know, the players were on the ice and practicing and doing media availability. And then that changed and we had to be 6 feet away from them. And then it went from that. And I think really things turned on the Wednesday night when the first NBA player tested positive for COVID-19. And then obviously everybody had to react to that. The NBA put their season on pause. The next day, the NHL put their season on pause. And even that Wednesday night, we had a conference call with Kelly Kirsch and Peter Labardius and you and I. and talked about, okay, you guys won't be traveling to New York. You're going to have to call next week's games against the Rangers, Islanders, and Devils off a monitor here in Calgary. And that was even a shock to the system for me because I have never done that before. But, man, it is crazy how quickly everything has happened. And hopefully we can get that curve flattened sooner rather than later and get some more hockey games in this year. But, again, that's secondary, and the primary concern is containing this coronavirus and getting everybody healthy again. So my thoughts and prayers with everybody dealing with either an illness themselves or to somebody that's a family member or friend.
Derek Wills is with us, radio voice of the Calgary Flames, joining us here on Pinder and Steinberg this afternoon. I'll ask you a couple of Flames questions and hockey-related questions as best as we can have these discussions. But it's funny, like, the Flames in a lot of ways pretty fortunate in the fact that, you know, we talked about what they're going to do at the trade deadline and how they're going to go about their business. And while the Flames did make a couple of moves and added a pair of defensemen and Derek Forbert and Eric Gustafson for a couple of conditional draft picks, they didn't go out and make those massive acquisitions like, for instance, a Tampa Bay did where first-round picks are on the table or, you know, Vegas gave up a significant amount to bring in Robin Lehner. Like, there have been some significant deals made with conditional picks and expiring free agents. You've got Gustafson and Forbert who have barely spent any time with the Calgary Flames, and now all of a sudden Brad Treliving might have to make a determination on what happens next for these two guys. I find that to be an extremely fascinating conversation league-wide, but specifically when it comes to those two players in the Flames.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a really good point you make, Pat, because I really hadn't thought about the fact that the trade deadline just passed. And you're right. There are teams that gave up significant assets to acquire players for this season, guys who may or may not be back with them next season. And thankfully for the Flames, they did not do that. But had they done that, I think most of us would have been pretty happy that they had gone about their business that way. And I do think Brad Treliving tried to make some big deals approaching the deadline back on, what was it, February 24th? Again, it seems like so long ago now, but, you know, it's almost a good thing that he wasn't able to pull the trigger and get some bigger deals done, because all he gave up to get Gustafson and Forbort were third and fourth round picks respectively. So you'd like to have those assets, but certainly not a first round pick or a top prospect or anything like that. But yeah, I think lots of question marks for the Flames going into the offseason, whenever that's going to be, if it's you know, going to be sometime soon if they decide to cancel the rest of the season, or heck, it might end up being in September, the way things are sounding right now. If the teams, or at least some teams, do play games into August, that means that the offseason's not going to start until sometime in August or maybe even sometime in September. So it doesn't leave you a lot of time to get ready for the 2021 season. But I think the biggest question marks when it comes to the Flames and to their offseason have to start on defense. And not even so much Eric Gustafson and Derek Forbort, but I think more so TJ Brody and Travis Hamonic, the two big unrestricted free agents on defense, because the Flames signing a guy last week, a college free agent who I'm told could play as soon as next season, which sounds pretty exciting, getting a couple of guys under contract without having to give up any assets to get them. But also, you've got to try to fill out your blue line, because right now, I think if you were to slot guys, you'd go Mark Giordano and Rasmus Anderson left and right on the first pairing. But then you're looking for righties for your second and third pairings. Let's say you've got Noah Hanifin on the left side of your second pairing and Yusuf Alamaki on the left side of your third pairing. Of course, everybody's interchangeable, but let's just put that in pencil for now. Who plays on the right side of your second and third pairings? I think it's feasible they bring back one of, but probably not both of, Brody and Hamonic. And then where did Gustafson and Forbort fit in? So lots of questions, not a lot of answers, but boy, that seems like it's really far in the back burner right now, doesn't it?
It sure does, and you wonder how much that is even on the mind of you'd think that if you're the hockey ops staff right now, you're probably trying to have these conversations to try and keep up some sense of normalcy while also knowing that you have no idea when those decisions are going to have to be made or when you can put those decisions into effect. It's it really is fascinating because you're right. I mean, I think that the two guys they brought in, they've got interesting decisions to make. And, yeah, it's not like Brody and Hamonic all of a sudden are going to be given another year to play with the team. They're going to have to make decisions with those two guys as well. There's no doubt about it. Just a final thought for you. It's a fun one. I'm curious as to –
Sorry, quick follow-up on that one, Pat. So just thinking out loud here, I know for a long time, Gary Bettman and Bill Daly were saying that the 2021 season would start on time. But let's be realistic here. If they are playing the 2019-2020 season into August, you really have no off-season. You have, what, 1 month? Not even 1 month of an off-season? I don't think that gives players enough time to physically recover, number one. But what about all the other things that happen during the offseason? The draft, free agency. So if this season does continue into July, let alone August, I think it's got to push back the start of next season, doesn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, they might have to – next season might have to be – condensed, and to get 82 games in, we might have to be talking about a far more condensed schedule. Maybe no All-Star break, maybe no CBA break. Those types of things might have to be taken out of the conversation to make sure they can get 82 in. It's a good point, and I think that all those things are being discussed behind closed doors right now. I really don't know how this is going to look when it's all said and done. It really is a guessing game when it's all said and done, hey?
Yeah, it certainly is, and I mean, I guess we shouldn't even jump to the conclusion that if they were to wipe out the rest of the 1920 season, that everything would be good to go for the 2021 season. We don't know how long this is going to last and how long it's going to take them to really contain this COVID-19. So it's all a guessing game right now. And it's, I guess, all we're left with until we know what's going to happen for sure.
Okay, final thought. Let me ask you this. I wrote an article at Flames Nation earlier this month, and you know, I didn't expect when I wrote this that this would be the potentially the entire body of work of the season, but through 70 games, I went through the five best value contracts on the Calgary Flames, and I just wanted your thoughts on my number two and my number one. I went with Elias Lindholm at number two and Andrew Mangiapane as my number one best value contract on the Flames this year. Entry-level deals didn't count, so no Rasmus Anderson or Dylan Dubé, but I went Mangiapane 1 and Lindholm 2. Can you get on board with that?
I think it's hard to argue Andrew Mangiapane at, what, $715,000? He's making $15,000 more than the league minimum, which is ridiculous because, let's be honest, if they were to play 82 games this season, he would have a legitimate chance to get to 20 goals, maybe more. He's been outstanding this season. He's done a great job driving the play. He's fit in, I think, seamlessly on that line with Michael Backlund and Matthew Tkachuk, and you know, really has been a top six forward. And we had talked all season about how the Flames needed to add a top six guy. Well, I'm not sure that, you know, on a Stanley Cup contender, Andrew Mangiapane is that guy right now, but I think he's got the chance to be that guy moving forward. So I think that's an easy number one. What is Lindholm making?
4.85.
Oh, 4.85, under $5 million for a guy who I think is one of the top 200-foot forwards in this league, top guys who can play with the puck, without the puck, offensively, defensively. I really like that pick as well, Pat. I mean, if you had to pick a Flames most valuable player with, 70 of the 82 games played, who would you go with? I think it'd be hard to argue against Elias Lindholm.
Yeah, he'd be the one for me.
Yeah. I mean, David Rittich, I think, would probably win first-half MVP, but his second half obviously hasn't been as good. I think Elias Lindholm was a close second as far as first-half most valuable player was concerned. So when you look at his body of work and what he's continued to do in the second half of the season, hard to argue that he'd be this team's most valuable player this year. And at under $5 million, that's pretty hard to beat.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Wills. Stay safe. Stay sane. We'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate you doing this today.
Hey, no problem at all. Good to talk to you. And if you make some more dumplings, send some my way, would you?
I will indeed. They were outstanding yesterday. I thoroughly recommend. See you, pal.
All right. See you later.
It's Derek Wills, radio play-by-play voice of the Calgary Flames on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The bar might be closed to patrons during these trying times, but they are open for business. Pickup delivery available by calling 403-248-3344. That's 248-3344. Pinder, Steinberg, Logan, Wild Card Wednesday. On a Wednesday, next, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is the latest from the 660 News Traffic Center.
Traffic for 660 News. Calgary's number one for breaking news, traffic, and weather. You can stay up to date with the very latest on the coronavirus by tuning to 660 News 3, 4, 5 times a day. Or visit the website 660citynews.com.
Got some train activity in the southeast. This is along the diagonal line, and right now we see some holdups on Barlow, 50th Avenue, Pagan. You can expect 36, 17th Avenue, 52nd Streets all to be held up as well from time to time. And there is a problem with some traffic signals in the southeast at Barlow Trail and 106th Avenue. No advance left turn open to drivers right now. You've got to run the red. In the 660 News Traffic Center, I'm Trace Ventura.
During the Infiniti Find Your Match event, choose the versatile mid-sized QX50 crossover with an exceptional 36-month lease offer and customize your offer. Visit your Infiniti retailer today.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary. On the air, online, and on the go, and on your smart speakers. Live from the Basement Systems downtown studio. For Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, they are all things basement-y. Basement and crawl space waterproofing, humidity, and radon control and structural repair. Go to helpmebasementy.com to find out more. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hi, I'm Colin Gingell from Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. In 1986, I remember seeing the AMG E500 Hammer for the first time. It put a smile on my face seeing and hearing a 5.6-liter hand-built V8, the world's fastest sedan at the time. Performance vehicles with a sporting heritage, assertive style, and the promise of pure exhilaration. AMG is designed and built to stir the senses. That's why the AMG Performance Center is such a fundamental part of our passion.
Mercedes-Benz Country Hills.
Welcome back to Auto Values Car Chat. Today, it's brakes. There you are, driving along, the light ahead turns red, and hello, caller.
It's killing me, Jimmy. I gotta get these brakes taken care of. The sound is excruciating.
Easy there, Punchy. Here's the solution. Head over to Auto Value, get yourself some pads, some rotors, or, hey, upgrade to ceramic pads.
They got those?
Do they got those? Do mannequins have nipples? Of course they've got those. They are Auto Value Auto Parts. Stay classy, Alberta.
Breathe in the calming energy of carefree power and gas from Encore by Epcor.
This is no time for breathing. Sign up now and save $50.
Embrace the provider Albertans trust for local energy expertise.
Imagine having $50.
Carefree.
Cash back.
Made possible by Encore by Epcor. Your carefree power and gas provider.
Customers are free to purchase natural gas or electricity services from a retailer of their choice. For a list of retailers, visit UCA Helps or call 310-4822 toll free.
Every time you spend some cash, you get some cash back.